Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Film Hustlers. We are broadcasting from an undisclosed location today, right, David?
Yeah. Very undisclosed.
Can't talk about where we're at. Can't even look at the person we're interviewing. We're interviewing today. We're with Russ Emanuel. Russ Emanuel, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Get close to that mic.
I'm very excited to do this again.
But the first time I interviewed you, we went through your whole life, so I'm not going to make you do that this time. But Russ Emanuel,
can we go through someone else's life?
Yeah, that's true. Who should we cover? But no, Russ Emanuel is king.
King, your royal highness. I'm responsible for two companies, which is Extreme Music, and I'm CEO president. Sounds very grand.
Yeah, it sounds very grand.
Or Le Grand Fromage. of Extreme Music and now Bleeding Fingers Music, which is part owned by Sony, and the other part is owned by Hans Zimmer.
Right, Hans Zimmer, who is an amazing composer. Like,
he's
one
okay.
of our
he's
finest.
Okay. He's
one
okay.
of our finest.
He has his moments.
I think I've heard of him.
You've heard of him? Yeah. But ExtremeMusic.com is who we talk about every week, and you know, every once in a while I give you examples of how their website works, which I use all the time. Dave uses all the time. Lots of filmmakers I know use all the time. It's a great way to use composers from all over the world and find music that fits your movie, anything you're producing, perfectly. I was talking about this the other day because in my current movie, which is called Stepping Into the Holiday, which is going to be on Lifetime on the 25th of November, there was a song, and we used the song in the movie to have Jana Kramer dance to.
Right.
Now the problem was is that song, she has a very unique voice, this artist, and the song was beautiful and it was romantic and she had created this dance to it. And when we went into post, I was like, wait a minute, like we can't use that song. It's going to be like $80,000. I can't do it. So I went to Extreme Music like I normally do. Long story short, I was on there for about 2 hours, but found the perfect song. Yeah, for 2 hours.
Gotta like, tighten that up.
Normally it takes me about 10 minutes, yeah. But this time I needed something very unique. By the way, she was dancing to it, so it had to match her moves.
Right.
So that's not easy.
No.
So, but I, you know, I use this as an example. It's like, if you take your time, get yourself a glass of wine, jump on extrememusic.com and look for that perfect song to give you the feeling that you want for the scene, you could find it. It is one of the best sites out there as far as, you know, ease of use.
Yeah.
And also the ability you have to sort of, you're not composing, but you're definitely able to remove sounds and put in percussion and take out percussion,
yeah.
Which I think is pretty unique.
I mean, I'll take all the credit, but there's a couple of other people behind it as well. But
who's behind it?
I'm not like, gonna,
you
yeah.
can't say no,
I can't
they're
say
elves.
Well, but if I say that, I'm going to have to give up some of the credit. But no, we got. There's an amazing team. It's, you know, it's a big endeavor.
Yeah. How am I able as a producer to go through a song and be like, oh, there's this instrumental version, there's a vocal version, there's a light yeah. version, there's an ambient version. I mean, sometimes right. there's like 10 different versions yeah. of the same song. Like, how does that happen?
That's a production nightmare, but it's one of the things that kind of sets our team apart. We dive deep.
So when I do it and give it to you, then you guys do that?
No. We'll go back to whoever's producing, you know, our writers or composers yeah. or our talent, and we'll, first of all, the song is first. The original song is first because we really need it to be authentic and we don't want it to sound like it's production music. Mm. Get that right. And then our team will kind of mentor them through, okay, you know, this is, and sometimes it doesn't work, by the way, but we'll kind of mentor them through and say, all right, imagine now, and by the way, there's finance behind this. The more song, the more versions it has, the more usable it is, the more scenes it can be used in, the more money eventually they make.
Right.
Happy accident, we make some money as well. But eventually, you know, but you know, we're partners with our talent and we share our revenue with our talent. And so it's kind of a teaching process for them because it's very different than writing a hit song. It's like you're writing a song for professional users. And that professional user, once he's used the song, may want to use a submix of it or a different version or an emotional version or whatever. And then the other thing our team do is, you know, through the wonders of technology, you know, go into the session and cut up all of the elements and then produce. We've got this thing called Custom Mix.
And I've used it.
Yeah. In order to do that, the song has to literally be deconstructed again.
Right.
Once it's been made, they have to go deconstruct it because, you know, our users have the ability to create custom arrangements, take bits out, or even type in a kind of, hey, I need a 30-second version or a 27-second version,
yeah.
And the thing will create it for you. And
that's
then,
right.
And if you don't like it, it will create another one. And there's a lot of tech behind that.
I mean, that must be the most expensive part of what you guys created,
yeah.
Right? Because I even sit there sometimes. Have you used that, David?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Like, when you
that's
do
really
it,
cool.
Yeah, yeah, when you do it, you could say my scene is 17 seconds long. You punch that information in, and all of a sudden, it comes out 17 seconds long.
Yeah.
But how does it musically know where to edit it?
That's all part of the magic.
Don't get into it.
Yeah, but you know, almost weekly, technology gets better, and we're updating that, and we're seeing now, you know, you can literally throw a video in, put in edit points, and change the mood of the song to the picture. I mean, you can essentially score. You can change the shape of an emotional shape of the song to picture now.
What I like to do is I like to give our editor my sign in and they create their folders and then they temp the entire movie with Extreme Music.
Yeah.
Temp the entire movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So then what happens is when we go to network, there's certain songs that I can't even imagine replacing. Even my composer.
Yeah.
Tried to replace a couple of the songs and do some original, and he came back and said, like, I'm not going to find a better
song. Yeah, the industry phrase for that is temp love.
Oh, really? Is that what it is?
That's called temp love. You fall in love with it. And that we hope for that. We pray for that. Because it's absolutely true. But, you know, a lot of our clients will temp a movie or a project with our music, and then the composer will replace it. But generally, some of it sticks, and that's really our goal.
Well, and you know, look, as a producer, you do look at a scene, and you're like, you know, like there was a moment where I fell in love with all, where I basically thought there's no way to replace any of it.
Right.
And then you start to realize, oh, that's not possible because there's love themes, there's character themes, right? There's all that kind of stuff that happens. So then you start to realize, but then there was moments like the song I was telling you about that took me 2 hours to find. I did it for the dance, but I thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to use the beginning of it, which starts instrumental and beautiful. I'm going to use it to end the scene prior,
right?
And then I'm going to have him walk down the street with it, and then the vocal is going to start when we go interior,
yeah,
and she's going to dance to it, and then I'm going to let her walk out and have this moment with him, and then we're going to end the song, and then we'll bring in the score. And I did that, and it was amazing. But there's so much to do on the site with the music, and I don't know, I just really, it's weird because I look back, I don't want to date myself.
I can do that.
I know. But when I was younger, you would go to post houses and they'd have a wall of CDs
yeah.
And you'd be like, oh, yeah. Comedy CD. And you'd pull that comedy CD and there'd be like 30 things on it. And you'd be like, oh my God, it's amazing. Yeah. Like that was amazing to me. That there was action. There was an action CD and there was all these songs. And now you're literally looking at extrememusic.com and thinking like there's thousands and I don't even know how many. Like I to be able to look through Extreme Music for 2 hours and to realize how many different combinations of things that, you know, I probably even haven't looked at or listened to because maybe I'm using the wrong keyword or maybe I'm not combining stuff correctly.
You know? I can't imagine you'd use the wrong keyword.
I did a lot of times.
Well, yeah, but, well, you know, 2 hours.
For Christmas stuff, that's easy. You know?
Yeah.
It is what it is. And by the way, I think you should have more Christmas stuff on there. Let me just say this. There's 130, how many did they make last year? 145 Christmas movies were made
crazy
last year.
Stuff.
Across Lifetime, Hallmark, all the streamers. 145. I can't even calculate it, but the amount of hours of music that is and Christmas stuff that people have to use, I'm just saying.
No, yeah. You know, what's weird is every year we're creating Christmas stuff in January and February. It feels very strange to be in the studio with your sleigh bells and your, you know, tubular bells. And
you know why? Because we're shooting them in January, February, March, April, and then they have to be ready for December.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I think you guys, like the acapella stuff's amazing. A lot of the groups that you guys are using are extremely good at what they do. A lot of they have variations of songs because look, at the end of the day, we only have a certain amount of songs that are public domain that everyone has to use. Yeah. It's really about the variations of how you can make those songs interesting and fun and theatrical. You know?
Yeah, I mean, still, people still lean into the favorites, but you know, we do try really hard to create new stuff around the holiday season. We're always looking. Everyone's looking for the Mariah Carey hit. We're trying to. You know, it's interesting that the business has changed. So you mentioned the CDs. Sadly, I remember the jump from vinyl to CD, and that was revolutionary. I can remember that. Or even tape. Well, I worked in a mailroom of an old library in London, and we used to ship tapes around London on motorbikes.
You're younger than I am, but I had an 8-track.
That's true.
I had an 8-track.
What's that?
I have an 8-track. Yeah, people don't know what 8-track is.
What's that? No, I remember the
8-track. Dude, I had, and you couldn't fast forward, and you had to listen to the entire thing before you can get back to the original song.
Yeah, people don't understand that now. And but what's the big changes in the industry and exciting changes, I mean, if you can get excited about production music, which sadly I can, but what we've seen now is the advent of Shazam.
Right.
Is people are discovering production, looking to discover production music and stream it, and you know, I never dreamed this is a happy byproduct. But we had a song 2 years ago, which is still rolling now, which 2 billion TikTok views and 20 million streams, and it was a number one viral hit in Germany, US, global, and London, and that band now. All of a sudden, they're a thing. And then we have another band last year who are now iHeartRadio's best rock newcomer. We had a number one Billboard rock song.
Is that right? And it just came off the site?
Well, what's happening is that people are using it in shows, and it's just the right scene at the right time. It just works, and people are Shazamming it. They're fine. You know, people are hungry for music.
Wait a minute. So they hear a song on a movie, they Shazam that song, and it takes them to Extreme Music?
It goes to, we put everything up on Spotify now.
Okay, on Spotify. Okay, good.
And YouTube and
wait a minute, I didn't know that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The songs that that are in our movie, people
they're
can find them on Spotify?
Yeah.
All right, if you're listening to or watching Stepping Into the Holiday on the 25th, Shazam some of those songs, and you can hook yourself up.
What a joyous Christmas you'll have!
Oh my God! Wait till you hear the song I picked. You haven't heard it. It's amazing. I'm telling you, it's amazing. I got to look into it because that could be a hit. You know?
Yeah.
It was a beautiful song. That's amazing. Tell me more.
Well, I don't know. It's just a big change for us, and it's not. You know, we're not focused on it. We don't create songs to do that, but it's just happening. I think. You know, there's that phrase, water finds its own level. I think if you really focus on, you know, we're blurring the lines between commercial music now and production music. And we've got, you know, the thing about Extreme is we've got Snoop Dogg producing in there and Quincy Jones and Hans and Junkie XL and, you know, Labyrinth.
Ice-T.
And Ice-T.
I interviewed him last year.
Yeah, oh yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was a
yeah.
fun interview. He was very, you know, it's cool when someone that historic calls you sir.
Oh yeah, it's funny. Yeah, he's great.
He's a good guy.
And we got a couple of new. I'll tell you when we're not recording about the two new projects we've got coming, which we can talk about next time. We've got some two industry quaking new series.
That's great.
They're gonna blow you away.
You know, my son's 15, and every time he gets in the car, it's his radio, right?
Yeah.
And,
oh yeah.
Yeah. There's no dad.
No.
You know.
No.
70s
Thank
on
God
70s.
For that.
No 70s on 70s when he's in the
car.
Oh
yeah, they hate that.
But it's interesting because a lot of his music is not. You know, I can't find a lot of it. Like, I'll have to look. Like, I'll secretly look at the what's playing, and then I'll go to Spotify and find it. But he's, you know, their taste in music is coming, kind of like what you're talking about. They're finding music online on YouTube,
TikTok.
On TikTok, and stuff like
TV
that.
TV is the new radio. You know, my two of my daughters, I have too many kids. They're into K-pop and J-pop.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't get that from me, and it's great. It's amazing. I mean, that market is incredible.
My favorite girl band, you don't know this.
Oh, here
you
we
don't
go.
Know this,
this
but
be weird.
Is Blackpink.
Yeah. They love Blackpink. Yeah. In fact, they're going to the show.
That's amazing. I mean, they're amazing.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
Good. I'm impressed, Mark.
Yeah. I'm all over Extreme Music, and I'm listening to music all the time.
Yeah.
Instagram's pretty good at discovering new music and making you hear it constantly, you know?
Well, that's
TikTok's even better.
TikTok's
not true. I'm not on TikTok. But
it's also great at taking the whole day away from you and going, what the
fuck
happened?
Yeah. Help us all.
Dude, I was trying to find your address, and we were in the car, and I was like, oh, let me find his address. And then I saw a picture, and then all of a sudden I went to the pictures, and I was looking through pictures, and he's like, what are you doing? I said, oh, shit, I was going to...
Yeah, I know, we don't have an attention span anymore.
My son, my daughter, and probably most kids, I don't know, their ability to find music is different than when we were kids, you know? Like, you were fed a lot of stuff. Now people are finding new artists and making people on YouTube super famous and making them a bunch of money. It's a remarkable business.
It's very interesting. It's got its good side and its bad side. I mean, as you say, I have to switch the internet off sometimes, but
yeah.
I don't want to be that dad. I mean, I think it's great that they can dig deep and discover stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, some stuff you don't want them to discover, obviously.
Right. Well, they're going to discover it anyway.
That's very true. Especially my kids.
I say this a lot when I'm hiring a composer, but I am a classically trained pianist. I played like for most of my young life, so I love music. That's why I connect so much to extrememusic.com, I think, because the abilities that I have to play, I think, match my necessity to find music that I like.
Yeah. It's good to hear. And without sounding arrogant, every time I meet someone that's using our stuff, they tend to be a bit more kind of musically aware.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of choice out there. There is. But one, we sweat the detail. We spend a lot of time. We're actually a tiny catalog. People don't know this, but you know, we've been going 22 years or 23 years, whatever it is, and we're still one of the smallest.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I would never guess that.
No. Well, it's so easy to just throw stuff up there. Yeah, we really do. Sweat. We've got an amazing music team. They really kind of have learned to sweat the detail.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. I mean, look, you guys, like I say every week, you're the best in the biz. If you need something, you can find it there. You also have your other company where, you know, it's funny. We could talk about it so many times, and I could still not know that I can call you up and say, like, hey, let's compose music for...
Yeah, we scored a picture.
Yeah, for scoring. And, and funny enough, you're scoring a picture that is on Lifetime this year for this holiday, and it was scored through your company, Bleeding Fingers, which I feel embarrassed that I didn't use you for...
Yeah.
Stepping into the holidays.
You feel embarrassed and I feel pissed off.
You're pissed and I'm embarrassed.
Yeah,
but at least I'm using Extreme. But I think people should look into this other company. I think people should check it out. I mean, I'm going to do it. We're going to do this on our short, Beautiful Darkness.
Right.
And we're going to do the score part of what we're talking about.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be deep, so you're going to have to produce the heck out of it, Russ.
Oh, dear. I'm not sure I want you as a client.
No, I'm easy. I'm easy. Yeah. I'm easy as long as you're talented. That's the one thing. As long as you're talented,
I wouldn't say I'm talented. Fortunately, I surround myself with talented people.
Well, you're way too humble, because let's talk about this. You played at Buckingham Palace.
I did. In fairness, I got to be honest. So we score a lot of the big BBC blue chip, you know, Planet Earth, Blue Planet, Frozen Planet, Prehistoric Planet.
Yeah.
And as part of the Platinum Jubilee, before the Queen's sad passing, they'd arranged this amazing concert to celebrate her 70th year.
I remember. Right.
And we were kind of right at the peak of the evening, just before Diana Ross. And when I say we, it was, we were performing Planet Earth, the theme, and then followed by a long stretch where we kind of scored Prince Charles and Prince Edward's speeches about the planet. And then...
Wait, was it pre-recorded or were they doing it live?
No, they did it live on stage with us.
And you played it live?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's cool. Wow.
And we had this huge orchestra. I don't know if you saw the stage. It was these three stages.
I saw it on your Facebook.
Yeah, we had the Royal Ballet on one stage and then the center stage for them. And then we played Wonderful World with Celeste, who's a big singer over there for me. It was amazing. We were on stage for, I think, 18 minutes and... it was absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
It was absolutely terrifying. But what I said to Hans, I said, there's no way I'm letting this go without me shamelessly shoehorning myself into the band.
Right.
And playing bass. We're not letting this go.
Was he up there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. If you see him, and then hiding in the background, you get a glimpse of me occasionally. But it was really, you know, because growing up in London and, you know.
What an honor.
Yeah. I kept thinking my gran would just be so happy.
Yeah.
And it was just an amazing week. I had to go over early and kind of, you know, work with the orchestra and prepare that. And it was just amazing. And then we had this amazing event afterwards in the palace, which was just mind-blowing.
Did you wear your ExtremeMusic.com shirt?
I didn't. I really should have. Well, I can tell you this. Lots of things happened. I can't even go. It was just an amazing time. All those amazing people. But in the palace afterwards, we're having 1 in the morning because the show finished at midnight. And then I went with my wife. She's never a good idea.
Right.
She's not a good drunk. And we're chatting and just randomly Prince Edward comes up to us and he starts just chatting away. Super nice. Like, there's no security. We're in this room, Renoirs and Monets and masterpieces. God. I'll show you some. I snuck some people. You're not supposed to take pictures, but I did that. Is that a text?
Click.
And then my wife's signaling to me to turn around. I turn around and Prince William's, you know, future king of England.
Yeah.
And he was such an amazing regular. I mean, you're like a guy.
Yeah.
And we just spoke for maybe 15, 20 minutes,
really?
Just joking around. And
that's awesome.
it was just amazing. And I said to my wife in the car, we may as well break up now because I can't do better. Yeah, I peaked.
As good as it's going
to
get.
This is never going to get better.
I mean, that's to be able to play at Buckingham Palace and then to spend some time with them, that's remarkable.
It was really...
What a treat.
Yeah, it was a real treat. And looking, I'll show you some pictures, but I took some pictures from the stage again, which you're not supposed to do.
Right.
But looking down the mall from the palace, behind us they're projecting the palace. They lit it up with images from Planet Earth 3.
Yeah.
Planet Earth 2. And I look down there and there's like hundreds of thousands of people going all the way to Trafalgar Square.
Wow,
it's just mind-blowing.
Wow.
Yeah, terrifying.
What is it about people and music that, like, there's so many bands and so many people trying to do their thing. Like, there's as many people failing at music as there are succeeding at
music.
It's
such a... I mean, you need so much of it is luck. Because there's so many amazing, talented... especially in this town, but everywhere I go, you trip over these amazing... And there's only so much space for people to rise to the top.
Yeah.
So you need... And nowadays, the level of talent... I mean, my son's a guitarist, and he... You know, we used to learn by, you know, listening to a cassette and rewinding and stuff, and we'd learn wrong, and that sounds about right.
Right.
And they go on YouTube, and they can microscopically look at there's lessons and techniques and stuff.
Everything.
So the musicians coming up now are just way better than we ever were.
Let me ask you something. Like, as musicians go that are on Extreme Music,
yes,
from all over the world, is there people in remote areas producing amazing music?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're producing in Cuba, we're producing in Africa, Australia.
I wonder if...
Is Australia remote?
I mean, it could be. Parts of Australia.
In fact, we just did a series for Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah.
Which is about to be released.
Oh, that's amazing.
And we used some really, you know, some indigenous players that were just incredible.
That's cool. I mean, because, you know, you do think, like, there sometimes every once in a while on YouTube you see like a musician that's in their...
Looks like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, they're in the middle of nowhere and they're producing this amazing music.
Well, now they have a reach. Now they can get... I mean, we discovered this player we used on Prehistoric Planet, which is, you know, 60 million years BC, and we had to create instruments to kind of... How do you score a dinosaur?
Right.
Really looks like, feels...
Like, you know, this. Da, 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 da,
da, oh, yeah, yeah, da, of course.
Da, da,
da. Damn, I
do I have to pay for that?
Yeah, you do. No. But you know, we're able to kind of, you know, we always want to kind of bring in instruments that sound unusual, and we're able to now discover, just using YouTube, all these amazing players that are uploading video, reach out to them directly. They get a message in a minute, and all of a sudden...
Yeah.
They're excited because they've got a chance to perform and get a credit on an international show. They never would have happened.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow. And we're recording in Iceland, and just, you know, Frozen Planet. We just use this incredible Icelandic choir, and some of these. I just think the world of opportunity is so wide now. It's only going to get wider.
Yeah, those shows you're mentioning, part of the attraction and why they're so great is because of the music.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because they can't make you feel, you know, you can't just show a dinosaur, show like, you know, millions of years ago. Like, you have to have music kind of driving your interest, yeah. you know, and like, and driving your feeling about what mm-hmm. you're watching. So that's super cool. And not, I think it's easy for composers to do. You probably know more than I do, but it's amazing when you talk to a composer and then you send them off with picture and they come back and you're blown away.
I know,
by
it's such a great feeling.
Yeah. And sometimes things aren't perfect, or you know, what I think I respect most about composers is that even if they come back and you don't love it and you make notes on it, you know, like even the score, I would say like 70% of a score I'm happy with, and then about 30% we got to talk about. And we talk about it, and they go away for 2 days, and they come back, and it's the same feel, but they've just made some adjustments here and there, and it's remarkable to me. Like, you know, I'm sitting here in Russ's place, and there's like all these pianos and all these instruments, and, you know, just the idea that you know how to use them and you know what to do with them is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, that would be nice if I did.
Actually, you don't. That's what I was going to say. You probably don't. It looks great.
It looks amazing in here.
YouTube it.
Hey, yeah. Get on YouTube. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
You scored a movie for Lifetime. Now, our movie on Lifetime, Stepping Into the Holiday, airs the day after Thanksgiving, 11/25. And the movie you scored, 11/26, the 12 Days of Christmas Eve. That's when when that shows. And that's starring Kelsey Grammer and his daughter.
Yeah. Amazing.
Oh, that is his daughter.
That is his daughter. Yeah. I had heard about this.
I'm school producer on that. Cara Telvey is the composer. Great, great composer.
And how did you find her?
She started with us as a composer's assistant.
Oh, wow.
But very quickly, you know, you know, being based on Hans's studios, we get incredible talent coming through, and she just had the right stuff. And you just know straight away.
You just know sometimes, right?
Yeah, and you know, nothing gives us greater pleasure than spotting talent early and making sure. You know, the old route of sitting as a composer assistant for 10 years, waiting for them to get sick and not show up one day.
Yeah.
Generally, it's like stepping on talent, because what you end up with is a clone of the composer that they assisted.
Mm, right.
And what our goal is to do is capture lightning in a bottle, find talent, you know, surround it with support, producer, coordinator, score managers, because those are all skills that they have to learn and to do take time. But so we can quickly just go, okay, you focus on creating amazing music. We'll help you put it all together and deliver it and talk to the client and help you through that process. And we've had amazing success. Funny enough, she, and this isn't her fault, I've got 20 of these guys I could talk about,
yeah.
But as a shining example, assistant, amazing talent, she stepped in and became the composer on The Simpsons at the age of 23.
Oh, wow.
Which is, you know, 23 of, by the way, it's not enough female composers. It was a big thing for us to bring more into the industry. We've got 5 out of our team of 20. I want it to be 50-50.
Right.
And so we're now starting to see that. And then, again, and they've all got stories like this, but she went on that. She's the composer on The Simpsons, does an amazing job every week. A Baz Luhrmann show.
Yeah.
She composed that.
Wow.
I hope she doesn't listen to this, because it would be very embarrassing. But he called me at 3 a.m. after we sent the theme that she wrote in, crying. Baz Luhrmann's on the phone crying out
because
beautiful,
he loved it so much.
Because he loved it.
But the movie you're working on that she composed is on the 26th.
Yeah.
Ours is on the 25th. I mean, maybe people can listen and decide which one they like better. Well, music-wise, you know, I think they're both going to be terrific.
Yeah,
I'm really happy with our score.
Yeah.
My composer's from Mexico.
Oh,
yeah,
fantastic.
So it was all international. I did it all.
Did he score it from Mexico? Or is he
No, he did it there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to. What's his name?
He would send it over. His name's Cesar Vega.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll send you a link. But it was all remote, and he was amazing. And that's what gave me the idea. When I started working with him to create our themes, the dance sequences, and I found, like, you know, to be honest, he sent me 3 songs, and I didn't make any adjustments. I was like, they're fantastic.
Great.
I loved them. And that's when I started thinking, you know, if he did these so quick and they're so catchy and so interesting, I said, I wonder if we could do something for Russ on Extreme Music,
yeah.
You know, and put his stuff on there. So I'm going to talk to you after the show about that.
Yeah, maybe we'll make that a project that we can follow up.
I do want to say we're very proud to be associated with you. Thank you for supporting the show. Yeah.
Feelings mutual.
It's yeah, cool. we talk about you. And the great thing about being sponsored by you guys is that, you know, we truly believe in your product. We truly believe in what you're doing. I mean, it's kind of fun that we have like this movie that's crossing over and that we're doing it,
yeah.
You know, over at Lifetime, and you guys did one and we did one, and a lot of our music is yours. And, you know, the cross-pollination of it is really cool. And like I said, we talk about you a lot, and I think, you know, we're just really proud to be associated with you. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for having us.
We do have a movie that we're going to be doing. We're going to be using all Extreme Music for it. We already use Extreme Music for all the stuff that we do. And even if maybe you're thinking about doing a movie in the future, or you're doing it now, extrememusic.com, check it out. Open an account, doesn't cost anything. What's kind of funny is that even though I know you, I opened my account and I got a phone call from somebody from your company, asked, you know, like saying, like, I'm your rep.
Yeah.
Did you get one too?
Yeah.
Really? So we all got one. Yeah. They all call up and say, how you doing? Are you finding everything you need?
But yeah,
leave. Nice. No, it's very nice.
Oh,
yeah, they're
very good. No, leave me alone. They're supposed to be more aggressive than that.
Well, they're not. But anyway, Russ, thank you. Thank you, extrememusic.com. Check out the movie on the 26th. 12 Days of Christmas. Check out Stepping Into the Holiday on the 25th. All of these are on November. They'll be playing all the way through the end of the year. Let us know what you think of the music, and we'll see you next time on Film Hustlers.
Yay.
That was cool, man. Thanks. Amazing. For getting... I know you're busy, but it's nice to see you.
No, it's great to see you.